This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malaganas Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
Josh, you left the studio yesterday. I was in here for whatever reason. I had to come back and get some of my stuff.
Yeah.
And so I had a brief run-in with Gemma.
Yep. Because Jem works very hard down
she
here, bringing you
the
hits from then till now during your work day. So we often are ships in the night. We don't see a lot of Jemma because she comes into the studio after us.
Exactly, and then she's there for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
But I actually spoke to her for a little bit, and she was like wincing slightly as she came to the studio.
The conversation with you can be very painful.
Exactly,
I understand.
This is the thing.
Boring.
I hadn't even spoken yet.
Okay, right.
Usually people give me at least the common courtesy of hearing my first words and going, this guy's voice anyway.
Yeah, right.
So Gemma, I was like, what's up? What's going on? You seem like you're in pain. And she was like, yeah, I've hurt my wrist. And I was like, oh, that's not good. I know Gem plays soccer, so
it'll
be something very physical.
Well, I mean, that's literally, you'd use your feet only. Anyway, keep going.
Where you fall over, you don't face plant.
Well, I guess,
you put
if she's fallen
out.
Over, good point.
Just you meant like catching the ball.
The ground like a plank.
That's the whole point of soccer. You don't catch the ball. Well, if she was goalish, she might. But anyway, it wasn't soccer related. It was instead oil diffuser. She tried to put some, like, I think it was lemon or lime oil in a like a smoke diffuser, an essence diffuser.
Yeah.
And apparently, a little too, gave her the flick of the wrist, and it was a bit too much for Gem, and she's hurt her wrist that way.
Oh, it's so bad when you do a dumb injury, and you're like, how did I even hurt myself then?
And she was like, I've never had this before, and I've done it the same way that I've always done
just
it.
Put the oil in.
But she's like, I've put it in a little bit too much.
You're doing the motion now. I think you're tempting fate, quite frankly. Yeah.
Well, look at this. Yeah.
Oh, I just heard your wrist click
that was
so loud
that
then.
That was my thumb hitting all of my fingers, which is also not good, but still. It's just funny because it's like an old person injury. It's like,
I'm not the...
Here you go. Here's a prime example for me. I over the weekend, played a significant amount of video games for several hours.
Yep.
And I sat on my couch on one of the sides that doesn't have as much back support as the other.
Yeah, right.
And now I have a incredibly sore back.
Yep,
and I used to play video games for 7 hours at a time, upside down with my leg over my head as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't sit, by the way, upright in my couch without being like, oh, my spine.
Yep.
And I'm only 26, so it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even correlate to how old you are.
I have an incredibly sore right shoulder at the moment.
From
incredibly sore. And I've tried to work it out. And then yesterday when I was laying on the side, on my side, looking at Instagram on my phone in bed, I realized it's from holding my arm to hold my phone while I'm laying on that shoulder. I've caused myself like a repetitive stress injury from laying down on my phone.
13, 10, 60.
I'm 30, by the way.
13, 10, 60.
I'm falling apart at the seams.
Yeah, that's it. That's like a real crucial one for you.
Yeah, yeah.
13, 10, 60. Get on the phone right now. Let us know, what's your old person injury? What injury have you got where you're like, I'm getting old?
Yeah,
I'm not the spring chicken I used to be. Maybe it's the first one you had.
Yeah.
Maybe just a recent one you've had where you're like, I tried to get on the trampoline with my kids and I immediately rolled my ankle from just like climbing up onto it.
Yeah, perfect. That's exactly what we're talking about. Did you have an injury where you just went, getting a bit older now, as evidenced by injuring my wrist trying to put oil in a diffuser?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Let us know.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
I get a sore shoulder from texting on my phone. We've got Whitney on the line from Casey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Great, thank you, Whitney. Now, what happened? What was your injury where you went, geez, I'm getting a bit older?
I was at work and I was bending over to pick up like one of the boxes or something and I sneezed and I pulled my back out.
Oh my God. Yeah, because of you're already, right. So you're not in the right physical position to sneeze. Yeah, I understand.
How old are you, Whitney, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 27.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
This is the age where you start to have, God, that shouldn't have hurt the way it did. What's going on there?
The other day
I thought I was fine and then I rolled over like the next morning when I woke up and I couldn't
move. No good.
I took my shoe off too aggressively the other day and it really hurt my foot. I was like, ow.
What a sentence. I took my shoe off too aggressively.
And by too aggressively, I just mean like I didn't bend down. I just kind of tried to flick it off and it really hurt my foot. That's what I mean. I used to
when I was 7, I used to be able to kick my school shoes off just by kicking my foot out.
Exactly right. Okay. I used to sleep in shoes sometimes.
Renee's on the line from, that's weird. Renee's on the line from Ryan. How are you, Renee?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Right, thank Renee. You, Renee. Have you managed to cause yourself a little bit of an injury?
Every time I woke up in the morning, so my arm would really ache and my knee would really hurt. And it's just the way I've been sleeping with just my arms. It's
Okay. Just, so we've
your
let
arms
it,
crossing over or whatever.
You sleep on pretzeling. One of your arms? Is that what you do? Okay, so that shouldn't be. You should be able to. Yeah, you should be able to sleep like that.
Do you want to try and guess how old Renee is? Since like you and I can play, because this isn't going to be offensive to you, Renee. Because we're only basing it on your injury. We're not basing it on how you look or how you stand or whatever.
I literally have this same thing, Renee, because I sleep with one arm underneath my chest, and I really think that's also contributing to the shoulder thing. And I'm 30, so I'm going to say you're around my age, Renee.
You reckon she's 30?
Around my age.
I reckon Renee's 25.
There we go. Right, this is the danger zone.
That's it.
If
you're late 20s.
Late 20s is when you start to notice this stuff.
I tell you why, and I think it's because people, it's like when you start to become aware of it. When you're in your early 20s, you don't care. And then when you're in your 30s, you know that you can't, you know your limitations.
But in
25 to 30, it's like you're trying to, your body's like, we got to slow down on almost everything.
Even if you think you're handling the idea mentally of turning 30 well, your body's preparing you
your
for
body's
it.
Like, your body's going, how you think.
We are turning 30. Don't forget that.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Ned.
Yeah?
Hello.
What's up?
Important question for you. Have you ever taken hard rubbish off the side of the road?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of it.
Yeah, no. So I know you've got a bin room at your apartment building, and I know you take a lot of stuff out of there. I didn't know whether you'd ever pulled over to the side of the road and gone, that's a nice little outdoor table. Take that.
I've taken a desk. I've taken a chair. I've taken a TV. I've taken a rug.
You've taken a poker table. I was there when you did that.
And I also took a poker table.
But the guy was actually there. You got to go.
And I was like, hey, is this, what's the deal? Are you throwing this out? And he was like, yes.
Get it out of here.
And then I was like, okay, cool. And then it didn't fit my car, so I just had to pick it up and run it up the street because I only lived like a block away from it.
And that's how dedicated to taking hard rubbish you are.
So what was the question? Have I taken hard rubbish?
You're like a squirrel with nuts. You'll just grab and run. Yeah. That's what you're trying to do.
I should be a lot richer than I am because I should flip it and try and sell it, but I don't. Well, I just have it in my apartment.
I have a question about this, right? Because that's pretty much considered above board. If somebody's put something out on the side of the road, it's clearly hard rubbish collection. If somebody else wants to turn it into their, you know, someone else's trash is your treasure.
There's a printer on my nature strip that I'm eyeing off at the moment.
Oh, it's certainly been out in this morning. Like, fog.
It's been out since Saturday.
It's going to have a lot of mildew and stuff on it. That printer's going to be wrecked, is what I'm trying to say.
It's all right. No, I'm at it.
Don't plug it into electricity. Please don't.
I want it in my apartment. Yeah. Oh my God. I'll do it here at
Bring
work.
It to work. Take all the stations off air. I have a bit of a grey area where I'm not sure how this works. And kind of also I'm throwing my neighbours in it a little bit here, but really, get your act together.
Yeah, sure.
In the hallway of the apartment, like my floor in the apartment building, is a mini bar fridge that's just been sitting like next to one of my fellow apartment dwellers' front doors for like a week now. It's like a mini bar fridge. It's just a little fridge. Is that technically hard rubbish, or is that something they're just keeping there for a second and they're going to... It's been there for 4 days.
How nice does it look?
It's silver. It's not one of the white ones that you get from like Aldi. It looks like they probably dropped $600 on it once upon a time.
And it's not...
Doesn't seem to be a brand that I can see anywhere.
Is it percentage-wise... From one, as from 0 to 100, how close is it to the bin?
To the bin?
From 1 to 100, how?
Because 19 floors away from the bin.
I know, but there is like a trash chute there that maybe they were going to leave it there.
The mini bar fridge isn't going to fit down the little garbage chute.
No, but maybe if they were like, is it close to that door?
Oh,
because
no.
If they left it there, insanely lazy.
It's much
and
closer
rude.
To my apartment door. Much closer to my
and to their apartment
door.
Door.
Yeah, so it's the recycling room on our floor, which is only meant for cardboard, by the way, not mini bar fridges.
No, I'm not saying you should do that.
Is down the other end of the hall. So not even made an attempt to put it near the bin area.
I would leave it for another week from today.
Mm.
So you're saying you're 4 days in, give it a healthy 11 days, and if it's still out there, actually, I tell you what, after this weekend, open it. If there's anything in it, it's for them.
Okay, yeah.
Not so much.
There's nothing in it.
Wait till next Thursday, then it's yours.
Okay. No, well, then that's your official decree. Yeah. I don't know what that counts for, but it's your official decree.
You want my unofficial one?
Yeah.
Steal it now, even if it is theirs.
So
this is a dog-eat-dog world.
We are equating the hallway of an apartment building to the same as the side of a road.
Exactly right, It's like Mad Max out there, mate.
But a lot of people just saying, just knock on the door and ask them.
That would be easy.
We should do that, actually.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned, we like a good neighbour from hell story here and involving a little bit of arguments between two neighbours, passive-aggressive ways of solving those problems, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
We're big proponents. maintenance for it. Probably not as big as a current fair, but
they love it.
They do love an over from hell story, but we also enjoy just a bit more of the quirky ones.
The whimsical ones.
We don't have the budget to go see the neighbours. All we can do is just tell you about them.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a little bit different. Ned,
mm-hmm.
There is a guy who has decided to solve a dispute he's having with his neighbour about a property line. This is happening in southeast Michigan in the US. What he's decided to do, and just have a think about this. If you're having any kind of an argument with your neighbour where your front yard ends, where their front yard begins, all that sort of stuff, would you ever get mad enough to create a 250-foot-long wall of feces?
Human?
Cow poop.
Smart.
Yep.
No, I would never do that because I'd imagine that would affect us both equally in that the smell would be atrocious.
It'd be not great. So what's happened is it's actually worse for the guy who's arguing, of course.
The guy
set the wall up, didn't do it on by accident.
Yeah.
What normally happens is it's normally spread out all over the farmer's field.
Right.
So then what goes on is it's a little bit of a problem where he goes, you know, that stinks. And they've gone, all right, well, we don't know what to do with the manure. And your property line ends there, so you don't really get to tell us what to do on our land type thing. And the guy's gone, I don't care what you do, but it stinks.
Yeah.
And so they've taken the I don't care what you do and have made a wall exactly highlighting where the line is with said manure. Yeah.
He's made trenches with manure.
Yeah, so he's gone, look, you don't like it when it's spread out over the field. What if it's concentrated as close as possible to where you live?
Yeah, right.
Which I think is... When we say passive aggressive, that's actually just aggressive, isn't it?
I think that's surely aggressive behavior.
You've lost the passive there because you've had to build a 250-foot-long poop wall.
Yeah.
Like, that's now not passive. You've decided to do that.
I would imagine that would take a day as well. Like, that's a full day's work to set up a vindictive poop wall.
Yeah, vindictive poop wall.
That's so much effort out of your day that, because passive aggressive is like, this is going to be something that barely inconveniences me, and it's like I'm gonna hope that this person picks up that I'm angry.
Yeah,
there's no way to interpret this other than okay,
the guy made
the guy's
turd
pissed.
Wall.
Yeah,
he's pretty angry.
The guy's mad at me.
He made a 250-foot-long turd wall.
I'm almost impressed with how mad he is.
How much is 250 feet in meters? I can do that for you now. It's 76 meters. Oh, my God. 76 meters long.
Wow. Where's he been storing all this cow
poop?
It's
a farm.
Yeah,
so
the
guy has a farm, and then next to him is a rental property. So
still, that's a lot of poo.
And then the next thing out of this guy's mouth would just be, you're lucky it wasn't a poop roof, mate.
Yeah.
Because that's what's coming next.
Yeah, I'm in the process of building a poop catapult.
You keep complaining, I'm going to turn your entire house into a poop house. It'll be like a gingerbread house, just so much worse.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
All right, so I'm about to ask at the end of all of this for people to call up if they've had, or they do something like this with their family.
Yeah,
all right?
Okay,
so I also know that no one's going to call. I'm fully aware
fine.
Of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's my afternoon yesterday. I didn't have a great day.
Okay.
All right. Yep. I popped one of my tires. I had to go and get it taken in to get serviced.
Yeah.
It cost more money than I wanted it to because I had to change all four tires.
Do a wheel alignment.
It was a debacle. That being said, the people down at Goodyear Gungarlin did take care of me. They were very, very nice.
Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, because Ned complains about his car like somebody who's never understood how fixing a car works,
mm-hmm.
they also fit you in that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
The guy stayed behind after the store closed to make sure the job was done.
Mm-hmm.
These people could not have gone more above and beyond. The only issue you have is rubber costs money.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm
correct.
Right. Yeah.
Everything you just said was right.
For old Ned there, but also a bit of a thank you very much for looking after my friend to Goodyear in Gungarlin.
And that's why I gave them a shout out, because all they did was take care of me and then some.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of annoyed about not knowing I was going to have to pay XYZ amount of money.
You don't count on driving over a screw during your day. It's going to upset you.
And the person I was the most annoyed about was this screw person, this miscellaneous screw person who's really screwed me
over.
If
you're in an apartment building, this is my thing for this, do not drop stuff out of packaging and just leave it on the
and
ground.
Because
someone
be
will drive over it.
Yeah, and it's really,
I've
really
done
annoying.
The exact same thing.
Yep. So I had to pay for that, and I thought, you know what, I'm actually quite annoyed. So I went home, and I was like, I'm going to cook myself sausages, mashed potato, and veggies, and I'm going to watch a movie that I used to watch as a kid.
So you're going to cook yourself a childhood meal and watch a childhood movie and take yourself back to a time where you didn't have to worry about car maintenance.
Perfect, exactly. Right. You've got it, nailed it. That was my train of thought at 6:30 yesterday afternoon. I decided to watch one of the best movies of all time, Stuart Little.
Ah, yes. starring, of
about
course,
Michael J. Fox, my favorite actor. Mm-hmm. About a little mouse who got adopted by family.
My favorite actors as well. Hugh Laurie. He's great, but Hugh Laurie and Gina Davis.
It's a great movie.
Both in the movie. Yep.
Now, if you don't know, the movie's about a mouse that gets adopted. No one seems to have a problem with the fact he can speak English.
Yep, that's fine. But birds
can
too.
Walk upright.
Can the cat? Can people hear the cat? I never understood
it's like
that.
A Stewie Griffin type situation. Yeah. It's like, I don't think anyone can understand him. Anyway, I was watching this. It's great. I love it. But one part of it made me really jealous of the family, the Littles, because he's Stuart Little.
Mm-hmm.
When they come home, they greet each other with a little cute little rhyme.
A little rhyme?
That goes...
I don't remember that.
Little high, little low, little hey, little ho.
Oh,
because they're the Littles.
I do remember that.
They say it when a family comes over
for
meals.
Family reunion, point.
And they go, little high, little low. And then the other people go, little hey, little ho.
Oh, it's like a sing-songy thing. Yeah. That's how they know that they're all the Little family.
Yeah, it's like identity check. It's like when your face ID scans you on your phone. It's like, okay, cool, I know you're a part of the family because you know this weird rhyme we have.
Yeah.
Interesting. I immediately became furious because I was like, my family don't have anything like this.
No, we don't.
And my last name's Ned.
Yeah.
Well, my first name's Ned. Last name's Brewer, which also rhymes with everything. My first name rhymes with a lot of things and my last name rhymes with a lot of things.
Mm.
It should be easy to come up with a rhyme for my family.
Yeah. Yeah, but no.
But I don't have one.
Mm.
I would love to know.
I don't think a lot of families have them, to be honest. I think this is from Stuart Little, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, once again, a lot of stuff in that movie doesn't check out, but here is within where my question lies.
Does he register the remote control car?
I'm not answering any more Stuart Little questions.
Okay, fine. No dramas.
Is there a family out there that has a rhyme?
That have a rhyme for their
family? I know that no one's going to call. I know that. No, I understand that. But I would love to know if anyone out there is living my family dream. Because tell you what, when I have kids, Brouard, we don't try too hard because you're a Brouard. Mm. That's not bad.
It's a model about being lazy.
Yeah. Well, it's also very accurate, apparently, as well. 131060, get on the phone. Probably no one, but, oh, my God, if one person in Canberra has a rhyme for their family, please, for the love of God, get on
the
phone.
You're not allowed to make one up on the spot either, like Ned just did.
Yeah, we'll be able to tell.
We've already wasted 5 minutes of the time.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Ned and Josh. This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Hello, Madison. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thank you, Madison.
All right. What's your family rhyme?
I'm just mad that this stuff from Ned's been rewarded this morning with you calling, Madison, but that's fine. Thank you for calling.
Nah, that's all good. So my surname is Hill, H-I-L-L.
Yeah.
And if one of us says something smart, which doesn't happen very often, we'll turn around and say, my name's Hilly, not Silly.
Ah,
I like that.
Yes, very good.
You almost have like a zinger, like a, did I do that? Like you have a catchphrase for your family.
You just need the sitcom, to be honest.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, something's going on in my extended family. Not my sisters, my mum and my dad, but a bit further out on the Brouard tree.
Everyone understands what you mean by extended family.
But it's a very 21st century
problem. Everyone.
I know. Okay. But I just, this isn't a problem that would have existed 10 years ago. And it's getting to a point where it's like, do I step in at all? And if so, when?
Mm-hmm.
So I have an auntie who is like 3 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So her and I, it's very strange. I relate to her like a cousin, but then my other three aunties like aunties. So it's very, very confusing, the dynamic that her and I have.
Yes.
But she's also got a pretty significant partner.
Mm-hmm.
I should know if they're married because that would mean he's my uncle, but I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea.
Hence the word extended here, everyone.
Yeah, I don't really don't
paying
know.
Paying that much attention.
I think they're engaged, maybe. Well, yeah, once again, I should really know if this guy's my uncle or not. Anyway, I've seen a pattern over the last couple of weeks that is becoming more and more alarming.
Mm.
And it's always her, tagging him in memes that are really mean.
Oh, yeah, I've seen a lot of this. Yeah, I've seen a lot of this.
It's like, tag your husband who can't get through the night without rocking the house with his snoring.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Did we need to air that dirty laundry in front of everyone?
It's like, tag your husband who couldn't wash a sock to save his life. It's
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's like, tag a husband who can't stick to his diet no matter what. Yeah. It's getting to a point now where I'm like, Kels, this is for everyone to say. see. I know
everyone
she knows
can
that.
See this.
She's only 3 years older than me. I know that she knows that people can see this. She's airing too much dirty laundry. Mm. I know more about this guy's dirty habits than I know how he's related to me, which is a problem.
Do you know he can't wash?
I know
socks.
He can't wash. I know he has trouble. He's lazy. He's lazy. He's a slob. He snores. These are all things I know about a guy who I don't know if he's my uncle or not.
So
I just need to know, is there a point where, because I see these sometimes when couples tag themselves in like passive, because it's like a funny little thing on Facebook. Yeah, it's like a little passive aggressive.
At the end of the day, quite passive aggressive.
But at the end, and that's it. When it keeps happening,
you start to see it. It's like being at a couple's house for dinner and they start to have an argument at the table.
Like, more dirty dishes, huh?
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, what do I do now? And it's like that, but on Facebook. So you're just sitting on the other side of the country going, oh, God, they're fighting again. What do I do now?
Exactly right. It's so much more passive for me because it's like I'm not there in the room, but it's also been going on way longer and more. It's like
I have for you.
Yes.
Does he ever respond to these? Does he give it a like? Does he give it, oh, got me again?
Yes.
Oh, buddy, too right.
Yes, but I can tell because I've met him and he's like a funny dude. I can tell that he's like,
okay, water off a duck's back.
No.
You don't think so?
I can tell it's like I've made a joke to him before and I've seen him laugh, but like it doesn't seem like it correlates to what he's writing. So he's like, ha, yeah. But it's only like, ha ha, yeah.
Ha ha, yeah.
It's like, oh, good one, or like, yeah, got me. These memes,
I'm quite certain, because I don't often look at what we do here on the station, but I'm quite certain we've probably posted memes like these before, but they are a tremendous...
relationship turmoil.
They are a tremendous traffic generator, because people do tag each other in them and tag their friends and all that stuff. So I think that's why companies do them.
Yeah.
But as you said, it's not helping anyone.
Exactly.
I think
right.
This is no good, because literally, one of my good mates, so this is like, not. I have an insight into this.
Yeah.
One of my good mates, he was tagged by his girlfriend last night in one that was literally like... was standing. It was like a picture of Baby Yoda pouting.
Yeah,
and it was like asking a man a question and standing there until he gives you the right answer. And I'm just like,
what?
And I saw my friend was like, ha ha. And I'm like, that's not a real ha ha. Yeah, I know that's
you
right.
You can spot the fake ha-has.
I know
ha-has.
That's not a real ha ha.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned, I hear a story from Florida, and I say, right, this is going to be pretty wild.
Sure.
And I'm never disappointed.
Okay.
I'm usually never, ever disappointed by that. And so what's happened here is a lady has been driving along in an Uber. She's been the passenger, and something has smashed through the windshield of the car, and it's struck her in the head.
Not good.
Struck
awful.
Her in the
That's
head.
Very scary.
Caused a gash on her head.
Jesus.
She's fine, though.
Well, I'm glad she's fine.
They said, there's no way that can be what we thought it was. And then they looked in the back and saw... lo and behold, it was a turtle. A turtle's flicked up, gone through the windshield, smashed her in the head.
Typical TMNT move.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Always. Cowabunga is what it yelled as it did it.
Yeah, so it was Mikey. That's incredible. I can't believe she didn't die.
She didn't die.
Because they're like the animal equivalent of pucks.
It's like it's quite large, this turtle as well. There's a photo of it.
It's not a tortoise, is it?
No, it's a turtle.
Okay, right.
Definitely a turtle, but large.
Not one of the 180-year-old ones that are like...
not like a pond one. Like a midway between a tortoise and a pond one. Like it's actually a Disney-style turtle.
Do they know how it got high enough to go through the dash?
No, it's not. It doesn't say this. In the
I guess that would have to interview the turtle about that. Is people the turtle okay? Is the turtle
people
kaput?
Would be thinking here? Well, where's the big luck in this story? Because obviously, this
you did say this was lucky.
Lady's dodged a pretty massive, literally a turtle-sized bullet here, with just a cut to her head. It doesn't sound that because it said it drew a lot of blood. So that doesn't sound that lucky. Here's the lucky part.
She got to keep the turtle.
Well, no, she didn't get to keep the turtle, but the turtle got to keep its life. The turtle's also fine.
This is a good story about caution and about just keeping your eyes out. I guess for turtles, it's a very specific message, but that's crazy that both of them came out of this somewhat
both
all right.
Both of them came out of it pretty much unscathed. The lady's not seriously hurt, and the turtle is fine. They reckon it got knocked into the air by another vehicle.
Right.
So they reckon this turtle's been run over, spat out, popped into the air, shot through a windshield, hit a lady in the head.
Yeah.
Turtles have no concept of cars.
Of course.
So, what a weird experience for this turtle.
Yeah, he's like
now airborne, bang, now I'm around people. Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I've hit
There's music because they've probably got the radio going. Like, it would be the most bizarre experience for this turtle.
Yeah. That's why they were ninjas. It's because they can't be defeated.
Imagine if she had some leftover pizza in the back. Then all of a sudden the turtle just starts going under rat.
And a rat, a splinter, to be like, hey, that was incredible. Do you want to teach how to do ninja?
Yeah, I just want you to know that about a minute and a half ago when you started these references. This now only works for people that know what the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are.
I know.
I mean, it's a pretty sizable audience, of course.
But I could have gotten so much deeper, though.
Yeah.
Imagine if he went through the screen of the Technodrome. That would have been incredible. Krang would have lost his mind.
You go home now, okay? You're in the right mind frame for this morning.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
I've got a story from Chicago. There's been a massive traffic jam because a couple of motorists have stopped to get out of their car and move a mattress that was taking up a lane.
Right.
So they've actually gone, you know what, this is causing major problems. Somebody's going to have to step up here. Hazards on, out they get, mattress off to the side of the road.
This was the plot for an episode of Malcolm in the Middle. Where a mattress fell off the back of their car.
Mm.
What was their family's name? Doesn't matter. And then the whole town went into lockdown because they couldn't figure out what it was and if that was like a potential threat. But it caused like a massive backup as well.
Yeah, right.
But this is, a mattress is pretty much, because it's like car sized.
Mm.
Depends on how big the mattress is, but it's like super inconvenient, I'd imagine.
So there was a kangaroo on the way to work a couple of days ago.
It was.
That was right in the middle of the road. And I didn't sort of see it until I don't know what happened. I honestly don't even know how I did it, but I drove over it.
You hit
it. I accidentally drove over it. And I think it was one of those situations where I'm like, oh my God, that's a kangaroo. Oh my God, it's right here. I just didn't react in time. It was the whole thing. And, I've analyzed it a lot. I thought it was still alive. So I thought it was going to move out of the way.
And
it didn't, cause it was not alive.
It was already dead.
Miraculously, the underneath of my car had, it was quite graphic apparently under there because I had to take it to the mechanic, but it got away with it. Like my car got away with it, which is incredible.
It saw the other side.
But I was so flustered. I didn't go back. I didn't do anything with the kangaroo.
Mm.
And then as I left work, I noticed somebody had.
Yeah, they've moved it.
It's on the side of the road now.
Yeah.
Which then brings me to this whole thing about these people, right, that have moved this mattress. Here's the question I have that I've never really known the answer to. We all drive past stuff sometimes on the road and just go, oh, someone will get that.
Well, I literally did. I didn't hit the kangaroo you hit on the way to work.
And you thought someone will get that.
And I was like, someone will clean that up.
Yeah, but is that actually a thing? Or you know what I mean? Because these people in Chicago have stopped and gone, it'll be us. We're going to get the mattress off the road.
And inconvenience so many other people.
There's some like neighborhood watch style person just stop and go, well, best grab this kangaroo by the tail, get it off the road. It's going to be a big problem for... Because another thing you see often on the parkway and stuff is just cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
And then all sorts of things that just fall off you.
Exactly.
Do people... Is it someone's job to get that stuff off the road? Or is that an urban myth? That actually, no, it is just if you see it, maybe you should have a crack at getting it off the road.
I think...
13-10-60 if you actually know the answer to this, by the way, because now we're spitballing and that's dangerous.
I've done it before.
You've done it before?
I've lifted a dead wombat off a road in Tasmania.
Really?
And I regretted it because they stink.
Oh, bad. Roadkill doesn't smell nice.
But it was pretty fresh and we were like, you know what? If someone like you doesn't see this and goes over it, unlike your car where it's like, oh, a bit of damage, we can get it fixed up.
You might as well
hit a tree.
It'll flip the car.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, there is no answer to this for me, apart from my laziness certainly hopes it's somebody else's job. And I think that's the predominant feeling of most people. If you know if it's someone's job, 13-10-60.
Maybe.
I've got a suggestion.
Yeah.
If you'd like to hear my suggestion, you've got a fancy European car, as we've talked about before on the show. You're big time Benz Brewer. You've got your Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
But what I've noticed is it comes with a lot of luxury European cars come with this. In the boot, you've got like some witch's hats.
I have one.
That are there to just take out of the boot if you need to set up to change a tire.
Yes.
You've got a fancy car. You've got some safety equipment. It's your job to get stuff off the road.
It makes it a fancy car because I have this equipment. Yeah. I'm not going to get rid of it.
No, you're going to put it on the side of the road and get rid of roadkill from now on.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, here is my formal redaction / compliment. All right, ready?
All right, here we go. I'm so excited.
I don't know when it started. I think last week, but you brought up the ludicrous idea, the downright insane idea that you think that you deserve to be the fish warden.
Oh, this is going to be so good.
Okay.
Yes.
So I was like,
want to be the fish warden. Let me quickly explain what the fish warden is. We have a fish tank in the office. No one seems to be taking charge of looking after it.
Yeah.
I said, like officers have fire wardens, I'd like to be the fish warden.
And I thought, like everyone should think, that's insane. Because you said that you were going to start taking care of the fish, and that was a week ago, and you didn't do anything for it. And then you started demanding clothing, apparel for the fish warden.
I wanted to be a fish warden. I wanted a hat.
You wanted a hat.
Fish warden, yeah.
And you hadn't done anything.
No.
And you had made no effort to do anything.
No.
And so I was like, first of all, you're not getting a hat even if you do start doing stuff. Mm-hmm. But you haven't done anything, so you're an awful fish warden. This is like if the fire warden just didn't show up for a fire drill.
Yeah.
But, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, after being barren for like a week and a half, I went to go get a coffee and some water. Mm-hmm. And I can report that after having absolutely nothing in it, the fish tank now has some plants, some algae, some things for the fish to swim around, mm-hmm. to have a little bit of fun in. And so I will say, Toda, well done. Congratulations for taking charge of the fish warden.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any rebuttal or, you said that this never happens.
I feel like this is a moment where...
Mm-hmm. Well, I've just given you a compliment.
I'm just emotional about it.
Yeah. Right. Well,
I also feel like it's a moment for, it's a big moment from you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Yeah, of course.
To be so generous with your redactions and your compliments.
I've just been mean and I didn't think you had it in you, but there has been steps. So I think credit where credit's due.
What can only be done in the face of this kindness
yes.
is to return with honesty.
Yeah, damn it. This is not what I wanted.
This wasn't me.
No, I know.
I didn't do anything.
No, I know. It was Chris, and I asked him yesterday, and I wanted to do this morning to see if you'd take credit for it. Yeah, I really thought. I almost was going to prepare an audio statement saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you've heard this means Josh has lied about being a fish warden.
Be very, very clear. Yeah. The only reason I'm being honest right now is because what you've done is so uncharacteristic
I know
that I didn't do this.
I know. And I wanted to catch you in a red light. So Chris is the fish warden, and I have gotten him a hat.
I'll be the co-fish warden.
No, you don't get to be co-anything.
No, because I think, you know what, I'm
what?
The one that
what
brought
do you think?
I'm the one that brought attention to the plight of these fish, the fact
and
that, no one was giving them any attention.
Yes.
Knowing that it would spur Chris on, because he's such an animal.
Doesn't.
It's such an animal lover, and so he's decided to do something about it.
You're awful. And Chris is lovely because he goes out and feeds the crows that seem hungry and gives them water and stuff. So he's just an animal lover.
I mean, no, Chris is great, but let's be honest. It's the reason we have so many crows around the car park.
True.
He keeps feeding them.
I keep pooing on my car, actually. Enough, Chris.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
John Little, your Canberra Region Workers' Compensation Lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.